Our scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from the prophet Amos, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 18 and continuing on through 24. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you've been tuning in to Facebook over the last several weeks, we have been taking a look at the different names and faces of God. We've been examining how we name God in prayer. We've talked about God as Creator. We've talked about God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've discovered God is a mother who nurtures, protects, and feeds. We've discovered a God who is Redeemer, who paid the price and bought us back from our slavery to sin. These are all wonderful images of God and well worth our attention, and they help us to broaden our prayer language. But so often, especially as Christians, we like to focus in on the texts about love and about our salvation. We like the parables. We like to hear Jesus talk about the kingdom of God. And we don't often sojourn through the prophets. But that's where we find ourselves this morning, in the prophet Amos. Raise your hand if you have read the prophets lately. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Daniel, Jonah, any of the above? I don't blame you. When I was in college, I had a Christian spirituality class where the professor invited us to pick a book of the Bible that we hadn't read recently and to read it and keep a prayer journal, a devotional journal of sorts, as a spiritual practice. And so I chose the book Isaiah. I'd never really read it before. I didn't know much about it. I didn't look first to see that it's 66 chapters long, and it is filled with all of these images of the destruction of God's people. And I was a little taken aback. I got about 20 chapters into it and went to my professor and asked if I could switch because, well, the prophets are not comfortable for us. It's hard for us to understand even what they're talking about. The prophet Amos here is talking about the day of the Lord. And what is the day of the Lord? Well, for the Jews of Amos's time, the day of the Lord would have been the time when God would do what God did for the Israelites in Egypt, that they would be freed from their slavery, that they would be freed from their captivity to these ancient armies that were ruling over them, that were fighting against them. They were finally looking for that time when they would be free to worship God however they wanted, without any fear of any other people coming to destroy them. What does it mean for us as the church to wait for the day of the Lord? When you think about the day of the Lord, what comes to mind for you? At our 9 o'clock service, some of the folks talked about perhaps the second coming of Jesus or some of those images from the book of Revelation. I wondered for us whether the day of the Lord might be a day when our church was able to be full again, or perhaps there was nothing else happening on a Sunday morning that would distract people from their ability to come and be in worship on a weekly basis. Whatever the day of the Lord is for us, we get the idea that it is the day when God will finally reign fully on earth. And it's something that we look forward to with great anticipation. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come," as a way of praying for this day of the Lord. And yet Amos says to the people, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light." Well, that doesn't sound like the day of the Lord that I'm waiting for. "It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him." There's an image for you. We had some deer wandering behind us in the early service today, a mother deer with her baby fawn. And that's all right. I didn't mind everyone being distracted. I don't think anyone heard a word of what I had to say because of, you know, Bambi playing out behind me. But just imagine that there was a bear crawling around back there instead. You'd run for your life, only into something even worse, only to get inside of your house and feel like you were safe. Rest your hand on the wall to have a snake come along and bite you. Well, that doesn't sound very nice. "Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness?" Why this down language? It's no wonder we don't read the prophet Amos. Who wants to be brought down? But this is revealing something about who God is, and an important factor about God the just. This sense that God does not just want us to be faithful worshipers, but God wants us to follow through with the ethical demands of God's law as well. He says, "I despise your religious feasts, and I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Sometimes Christianity gets watered down to its lowest common denominator. Sometimes we as Christians think that as long as we go to church every Sunday, we give our tithe, set up a recurring giving on abundantlifewyckoff.org/giving. As long as we maybe attend a Bible study or two, maybe accept a role on consistory when that role is called up yonder, not up yonder, but over there yonder, that if we do those things, then we're all good. We put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we worship faithfully, and then that's all that really matters. But what God seems to be saying in Amos is that if our faith and our worshiping life does not have some ethical component towards other people, then it's empty words. Then it's mere religious observance. Jesus in Matthew 23 says, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You think that washing the outside of the cup is enough, but the inside of the cup is filthy. You're like whitewashed tombs," Jesus said to the Pharisees. "You look nice on the outside, but buried underneath is dry bones and death." Jesus says, "Woe to you who lead people astray by believing that their religious observance is more important than the way they treat those who are in need." In the prophet Micah, God says, "What does the Lord require of us?" He doesn't say anything about attending worship, giving our tithes and offerings, singing our songs, praying our prayers. But what does the Lord your God require? You've heard this before. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Here in Amos, we hear, "Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." And we have this image of a river, and rivers are powerful. There was an image from a few weeks ago in Michigan, just outside of Detroit, where water broke through a dam. And if you've seen the image of this, it's amazingly powerful, where this water finally finds a way and it pushes through the weakest point and nothing can possibly hold it back. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon in Colorado, it's amazing the idea that water created such an amazing feature, that over time, the roll of water on and on and on again wears away rock. It wears away everything. Nothing can stand in its path. And that's the image of justice that God gives to us. Let justice roll down like mighty waters, righteousness like a never-failing stream. He seems to be saying to the people of God, don't stand in the way of God's justice. Instead, let that justice flow through you. The source of our ethical action towards others, the source of the tangible love that we show to those in need, is not ourselves, not out of our own goodness and kindness, but is instead the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, bringing about God's justice through our action. It's something that we are invited to by Jesus. Part of going to the nations and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded his disciples, part of that is putting our faith into action by acting in tangible ways on behalf of those who are in need. We know this stuff. It's not anything new for us, and yet It serves as an important reminder to us that what God truly desires for us is to truly live out the gospel in its fullness, not just in part, but instead in full. To let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for these words from the prophet Amos and for the words from Jesus, reminding us what it is to take up our cross and follow Jesus, to set aside our own stuff, to live simply that others might simply live, and to be instruments of your peace and justice. So empower us to be that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.